Chapter 36 The Future. Question. I thought I just read in Chapter 27 that time doesn't exist. What are you doing calling the last chapter in this book the future? Answer. You're right. But I also said in Chapter 20 that I can still dream. And that's what I'd like to do. Dream a little about the future, as long as I don't get attached to the fulfillment of those dreams. Actually, toward the end of your time in the cocoon, you begin to see ripples in the universal ocean, movement in the Earth environment template. And sometimes it's fun to speculate, in a general sort of way, where those ripples might be heading. I'm seeing a couple ripples I want to focus on for a few minutes before I end this book, simply because I find some of this stuff fascinating. The first ripple I see is that the drama and conflict and pain and suffering and war and violence and hardship in the Earth environment template are actually increasing across the world, despite, or perhaps as explained in Chapter 18, in part as a result of, the resistance of more and more peace workers. Some of the developed countries haven't been so hard hit yet, but they will be as the global economic system becomes more chaotic. It seems like every day the news is full of more deaths from war and violence, and from natural disasters as well. More people are out of work around the world, more barely living from hand to mouth, more losing their homes, more with no idea how they or their families will survive. More economies are failing, more governments are collapsing or being challenged, and more theories of everything are falling by the wayside. For me, however, this is not a bad thing at all. It may actually be signaling the beginning of a mass exodus out of the movie theater, with large numbers of players gathering around the garden, ready to eat from the tree of life. In other words, the screws may be tightening, the rubber band may be stretching to its limits, the situation deteriorating until more and more human children are willing to stand up in their seats and yell, "We're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore." And more human adults realize what's in the back of the movie theater isn't working either, and head for the door. Sometimes things have to get pretty bad for that to happen. But I've been overly optimistic before, so I can't be sure. As Alan Shore said in one of his closing arguments in an episode of Boston Legal, "When the weapons of mass destruction thing turned out not to be true, I expected the American people to rise up. They didn't. Then, when the Abu Ghraib torture thing surfaced, and it was revealed that our government participated in rendition, a practice where we kidnap people and turn them over to regimes who specialize in torture, I was sure then the American people would be heard from. We stood mute. Then came the news that we jailed thousands of so-called terrorist suspects, locked them up without the right to a trial or even the right to confront their accusers. Certainly we would never stand for that. We did. And now it's been discovered the executive branch has been conducting massive illegal domestic surveillance on its own citizens, you and me. And I at least consoled myself that finally, the American people will have had enough. Evidently, we haven't. In fact, if the people of this country have spoken, the message is, we're okay with it all. Torture, warrantless search and seizures, illegal wiretappings, prison without a fair trial, or any trial, war on false pretenses. We, as a citizenry, are apparently not offended. There are no demonstrations on college campuses. In fact, there's no clear indication that young people even seem to notice. End of quote. Maybe it's an encouraging sign that young people aren't demonstrating on college campuses or otherwise protesting in general. Perhaps it means they are beginning to realize that changing things isn't working. But they also see the futility in resistance, the purposelessness in joining groups in the back of the movie theater, the rampant contradictions and inconsistencies in all judgmental belief systems. Maybe young people are simply numb, fed up with the whole thing, but with no clue of what to do, no concept yet of a viable alternative to the outdated and inaccurate models of life found inside the movie theater. Perhaps they're ready for this human game model. As I asked in Chapter 21, how much more pain and suffering and limitation and restriction is required before millions of players surrender, understand it is their own judgments and resistance causing that pain and suffering, and are willing to begin processing the false knowledge and layers of the ego that are part of life inside the movie theater? So, ripple number one appears to me headed in the direction of more pain and suffering, and says to me the roller coaster is nearing the top of the first hill, when things get really tough and the going gets really rough for those inside. Ripple two, going in the opposite direction, is that there are also signs more and more players are waking up from their dream state, or at least waking up within their dream state. You recall I talked about a template or matrix for the Earth environment in Chapter 24. Let's speculate a little on how that template might change from time to time. Remember the field? Lynn McTaggart called it a field of all possibility. And Dr. John Hagelin said, the foundation of the universe is a single universal field of intelligence, the fountainhead of all the laws of nature, all the fundamental forces, all the fundamental particles, all the laws governing life at every level of the universe. End of quote. And Fred Alan Wolf said, we can't explain what we do see as matter unless we picture that these matter particles somehow come out from or emerge from these thought wave patterns. End of quote. An infinite eye goes to this field and chooses certain specific wave frequencies to create the holographic experiences it wants for its player. But rather than having to recreate the car and the buildings and the briefcase and the galaxies and the solar system and this planet each time, it uses a template in the field I have called the Earth environment for its basic total immersion movie set and adds whatever unique aspects it wants for its individual player. Then it downloads that hologram to its player's brain. I also talked about the human brain receiving these holographic wave frequencies from the field and translating them into our physical reality, like a radio that receives sound wave frequencies and translates them into music and words we can hear. And this is where the player comes in. Let me explain. A radio has a certain range of frequencies it can receive and translate into sound. The AM range is 535 to 1605 kilohertz. And the FM range is usually 88 to 108 megahertz, although this can vary slightly from country to country. Obviously, there are sounds to be heard outside of those frequencies, but a radio receiver doesn't pick them up. This is also true for humans, who can hear only a limited range of sounds as well. Dogs, dolphins, and other creatures can hear different frequencies than we do, for example. There is some scientific evidence that our brains are receiving a much wider range of frequencies than we are able to perceive. Michael Willicke from the University of Rochester conducted a study which led him to conclude that perhaps as much as 80% of the frequencies we receive are locked in our heads, unable to be perceived. Regardless of how wide a range of frequencies the human brain might be able to receive from the field, it's clear there is a limited range of frequencies we can actually perceive. What exactly is determining this range of frequencies? The judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears we form in the first half of the human game. So at any given moment, the Earth environment template in the field available to an infinite eye to create a hologram for its players is limited to a certain range of frequencies the player can perceive based on their judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears. I want to say that a third time because it's so important. Our judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears limit the range of frequencies our infinite eye can use from the field to download a holographic experience we can perceive. This is demonstrated so well by Dr. Bruce Lipton in his exercise with the two sets of colored glasses and the pictures of fear and love. With that in mind, I want to take a look at the frequency range of our current template of the Earth environment. But this is going to be a little tricky because of the wording and the analogy to a radio. I want to emphasize before we start that no frequency is better or worse than any other frequency. And when I use certain numbers to represent frequencies, it does not mean one number is better or worse just because it's a higher or lower number. For example, the music at 91.3 on a radio dial is no better than the music at 104.7. It's just a different frequency with different content. You may prefer to listen to one kind of music over another, but that doesn't make it better. To help remove all judgments about the numbers, I have intentionally reversed the numbers from what we normally expect to see. In fact, doing it this way is more in keeping with our roller coaster analogy, where the higher you go on the first hill, the more limitation you experience. And now, here's where this audiobook gets a little difficult, because in the ebook version I use some graphs and charts to better explain what I want to say. I hope I can paint a good enough picture with my words that you will understand. Okay. Let's arbitrarily say the total frequency range in the field available to our infinite eye to create a holographic experience goes from 0 to 2,000. At 0, we find total joy and abundance. And at 2,000, we find catastrophic disasters and plagues. However, most players today can only perceive part of that frequency range. Let's say 500 to 1800, because of their judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears. At 500 is beauty, sunsets, happiness, and love. And at 1800 is war, violence, abuse, and fear. If we were to graph the players on Earth and the frequency ranges they could perceive, it might look like a bell curve, with very few whose experiences consist mainly of total joy and abundance, approaching no limitations on one end of the bell curve, also very few experiencing catastrophic disasters and plagues, complete limitation on the other end of the bell curve, and the vast majority with an Earth environment template ranging from beauty, sunsets, happiness, and love, to war, violence, abuse, and fear. At any given time, it's interesting for me to look at the template for the Earth environment that appears in my own hologram, to see the frequency range and how it is changing. As I said, it seems to me more and more players are experiencing more war, violence, abuse, and fear. The sheer numbers of people who are in pain and suffering have seemingly increased dramatically in the last 50 years compared to previous templates. What this tells me is more and more players are nearing the pinnacle of limitation in the first half of the human game, and more infinite eyes might be ready for their players to enter the second half. Did I make that clear? Rather than judging the increasing deaths occurring so frequently now from natural catastrophes or the crash of the world financial system or the melting of the glaciers as bad, they may simply be an indication the amount of limitation appearing in the Earth environment template is reaching its maximum threshold and could result in more players moving into the second half of the human game. As I said, like a rubber band being stretched to its limits before it breaks. So how can we start perceiving a different range of frequencies in the Earth environment template? By letting go of our judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears on an individual player level. We have the free will and the ability to do that. And in the process, we will shift the frequency range of the Earth environment template we can perceive, and therefore the frequency range our infinite eye can use to create our holograms, from a range of 500 to 1800, for example, to 200 to 1500. Now, war and violence and abuse and fear, which were at 1800, are no longer perceivable. They still exist, as all frequencies do, but we simply do not experience them anymore as individual players. This is what happens as a player moves further in their cocoon as they run Robert's process and do their spiritual autolysis, letting go of their judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears, and especially stripping away layers of the ego. They simply stop having the limiting experiences they had inside the movie theater appear in their holograms. On the other end of the spectrum, we begin to experience more than just beauty, sunsets, happiness, and love as we move toward unlimited joy and abundance. I want to emphasize it's not necessary to send new information to the field to create these new frequencies, as some teachers have suggested, because the field, by definition, already contains all information and all possibilities, and because we as players cannot create anything anyway. It is also not necessary to change the number of DNA strands, or achieve a certain level of enlightenment, or eat only organic food, or meditate, or anything else in order to begin to perceive this new range of frequencies. All that is required is to let go of the judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears that determined the frequency range for the first half of the human game. Now the interesting question is, what if a large number of players were to leave the movie theater, make their way through their cocoon, let go of their judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears, and were able to perceive this new frequency range? What effect would that have on the Earth environment template in the field, the one the Infinite Eyes use when creating holographic experiences for their players? In other words, what might be the effect, if any, if a large number of players begin the process of transforming into butterflies? A British biologist, Rupert Sheldrake, has a theory he calls morphic resonance, or morphic field theory. Basically, the theory says, when enough members of a species have adopted the same behavior, a critical number is reached, called a critical mass, and this new behavior is automatically and rapidly transferred by morphic resonance to the entire species. Sheldrake says, the term morphic fields is more general in its meaning than morphogenetic fields, and includes other kinds of organizing fields in addition to those of morphogenesis. The organizing fields of animal and human behavior, of social and cultural systems, and of mental activity can all be regarded as morphic fields which contain an inherent memory. End of quote. Sheldrake's theories have been heavily criticized by mainstream biologists for many years. However, some quantum physicists have supported Sheldrake's hypothesis, and even David Bohm suggested it was in keeping with his own ideas of what he called the implicate and explicate order. I know from my direct experiences of testing and challenging this model that an individual player can significantly change the range of frequencies its own infinite eye can use to create its holographic experiences by letting go of judgments, beliefs, opinions, and fears, and stripping away the layers of ego. So I wonder, if more and more players were to enter their cocoons, would the transformational process become faster and easier for each new generation? Would a critical mass eventually be reached where all the players on Earth automatically walk out of the movie theater and into their cocoons? Would the Earth, as a player itself, no longer need a movie theater and begin an entirely new game? That's ripple number two, and I'd like to stay around long enough to see where it goes. I hope you have enjoyed this audio presentation of Butterflies Are Free to Fly, a new and radical approach to spiritual evolution. You are invited to write a book review, or offer comments, or download the free ebook version of this book by visiting www.butterfliesfree.com. Thank you for listening. This is Stephen Davis, the author, encouraging you to go further. Now enjoy a song called Happy by my son's band, Even the Sun.
The sound bounces around, and now it gets louder, prouder, louder. The waves ricochet on the way back to the stage. They've been changed by the crowd and the way they behave. Here we are, we come so far, and we love to pay the bar. And we get laid and paid with free beer. Now we stand in front of you and do the things we love to do, and we're just glad that you're all here. Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah. A paddle of sadness I can stand. I'm back in love with life again. I'm happy. Yeah. A paddle of sadness I can stand. I'm back in love with life again. Show another load, and yo, we won't forget that girl in the front row. It's people like her and you that get us up and pull us through and make us see that it's true that you all care. Yeah, I'm happy. Shame on the way back to the stage, baby.